Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
I don't like this forest. It's dark and creepy.
Of course, I don't know, but I think it'll get darker before it gets lighter.
Do you suppose we'll meet any wild animals?
We might. Animals that eat straw?
Some, but mostly lions and tigers and bears.
Lions?
And tigers?
And bears.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Welcome to Route 51, local talk radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today, we take Route 51 into the deep, dark woods of northern Wisconsin and into many of our residential neighborhoods to take a close look at a familiar, fascinating, and to some, a frightening denizen of our state, the black bear. There has been a lot of news about bears recently in Rusk County and Ladysmith, where there have been 11 bear vehicle crashes so far this year, compared to only 8 in all of last year. Some people say this means the population is up, and recent Department of Natural Resources statistics seem to bear that out, excuse the pun. The DNR in June estimated a total of 26,000 bears statewide, twice as many as previous estimates. To help us sort through the statistics and to clear up misconceptions about black bear behavior and to give us some tips on how to react when we meet these animals in the wild, we have Chuck McCullough, Headwaters Wildlife Supervisor for the Wisconsin DNR, and Jeff Traska, Director of the Black Bear Education Center in Wausau. And especially today, we want to hear from you. If you're troubled by bears at your bird feeder, if you're a bear hunter, or if you have any stories, funny or otherwise, about these fascinating animals, give us a call at 261-6371. That's 261-6371, or our toll-free number if you're outside of the Wausau area, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Jeff Traska, Chuck McCullough, welcome to Route 51. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, thanks for having me, too. Thank you very much.
Chuck, what is the population of black bears in the state?
That's a really good question. Our official estimates a few months ago would have put it at about 13,000, but there's been a bear population survey that is finishing up right now, so everything I say is preliminary, that would say we may have between 25 and 35,000 bears. We'll tighten that number up in the next few months.
Well, that's a lot of bears. Why the discrepancy?
We've been working with a particular technique for a long time, and it was becoming more and more clear to us as biologists that wasn't working, that things were veering off, and so we commissioned a study. Basically, the university worked with the Bear Hunters Association to look at the bears again and get a better idea of what the number is. And we're coming back with a new answer. It takes several years from the time when you start to ask the question to get the answer. And that's why we're spread out a little bit right now.
Well, that kind of raises a red flag to me. The money for this study came from the Bear Hunters Association. They've got a vested interest in seeing a lot of bears in the state, so there are more bear permits.
The money didn't come from the Bear Hunters Association. They were one of the major participants in conducting the study. They helped us. The study was we put out bait that was laced with tetracycline a couple of years ago. The bear hunters put the bait out across the state.
Okay.
And, you know, they had access to land, and thousands of these things were put out. Tetracycline, if a bear eats this bait, tetracycline would put a marker in the bones of the animal, and it would glow under in an X-ray. So then what we did was the following two hunting seasons, we asked bear hunters to give us a small section of the rib, and a university graduate student was examining those rib sections.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that tells the proportion marked versus the number that we had out and so forth. That's a standard estimator of the population, of a wildlife population. And in this case, it showed us that there's a lot of bears out there.
How do you make sure that you don't have a bear hunters bringing you six or seven ribs from the same animal?
In a lot of cases, the registration station actually took the rib, a small section of the rib from the animal when the hunters brought it in to register it. But the rib had to be in a packet with other information about that bear. So there were not, you know, one hunter only had enough materials to to submit one rib.
Jeff, tell us about the Black Bear Education Center.
Well, the Black Bear Educational Center is here in Wausau, and it's a private nonprofit organization that anybody that's interested in knowing more about black bears, their life, hunting, we have everything from small grade school kids to nursing home people that come there. I'm there basically for people to learn about bears. I've been fascinated with bears for well over 20 years, and I give people the opportunity to see bears in a natural environment. They're not in a cage like they are in a zoo. They have approximately 6 acres that they can roam.
How many bears do you have on the
Three
property?
Three bears. And they're able to roam. This is not built for people. It's built for the animals. So
what do you have to do if you want to go to the Black Bear Education Center and see the animals? You don't have regular business hours or anything, do you?
No, I don't. You can look up online, www.blackbeareducationalcenter.com, and it's Black Bears, plural, bears.
Okay.
You can go online, or you can call me at 715-573-7663. And just call me, and if it works out with my schedule, because I'm a contractor by trade, this is only a hobby of mine.
Okay. Now your pamphlet has another website. It's WisconsinBlackBears.com. Is that
right? Right. Right. WisconsinBlackBears.com.
WisconsinBlackBears.com, and the number is 573-7663. Well, what do you think of these statistics? 26,000 bears in the state?
I guess I don't know that much about how they go to get the samples and different things like that, but I guess my understanding of bears in the rural areas or close to town and stuff is that years ago when a bear crossed some farmer's pasture or his field, he would see him as he's out planting or whatever he's doing. Now everybody's that's moved out into the country, everybody's backyard is in everybody else's backyard. So when somebody sees a bear go across the field, there's 6 or 8 people that see this bear.
So you're thinking that there might be a perception that there are a lot of bears, and the perception might be greater than the reality.
That very well could be. And also, because of the human input and the human food and bird feeders and different things like that, we're teaching more and more bears to come into people-type food areas. And a bear will learn very quick if he can get a free meal someplace, and it's important that we realize what we're doing.
What got you interested in bears in the first place? I mean, this isn't a full-time avocation for you.
No, actually, I was a hunter way back in the early 80s, and got to see my first bear while sitting in a tree stand bow hunting, and was just fascinated, and spent time in the woods hunting them and stuff over probably a 10-year period. I finally, what I saw, or when I harvested a bear, I had to say to myself, you know, I can't learn anything from this animal laying dead in the back of my pickup truck anymore. And I was honest with myself, and I said, what I want to do is I want to learn more about this fascinating animal. So I just put down my bow and arrow and basically went and studied them on my own and spent many, many hours in the woods just watching these animals.
Do you hunt at all anymore?
I don't hunt much at all anymore. Nope.
Are you anti-hunting?
Not at all. Nope. I think hunting is it's a very important part of it, but it all has to be done in a ethical, fair chase way, I believe.
Okay. Do you find that with the DNR, Chuck, that you've got to balance the interests of the hunters from the people who want to go out and simply observe wildlife and enjoy wildlife in the outdoors?
You bet. Abundant wildlife is good for, you know, for people who like to see stuff, not just shoot stuff. And a lot of hunters are people that just like to see stuff. You know, not just the things that they're hunting, but they like to see birds, they like to see squirrels while they're hunting.
And a lot of the major efforts toward conservation, protecting the environment, protecting habitat, that comes from
hunters.
The hunting population.
Yep, paid for by hunters. My salary is paid by hunters. The abundant wildlife, it gives people a chance to see, and, you know, we'll bring it back to bears, and that's a good thing for the people who enjoy that, but those bears, and Jeff has already alluded to feeding bears, bears, when there's a lot of them, can cause a lot of problems. And we have the federal government, the USDA has a branch called Wildlife Services, and we have them contracted to help us with nuisance and damaged bears. And in mostly in northern Wisconsin, they'll get 1,200 complaints in a year. And they'll end up moving 700, you know, trapping and moving 750 bears a year for, you know, that are causing problems in people's mm-hmm. backyards, around restaurants, or in crop fields. And that's a real.
Let's hold that thought. We'll be talking about problem bears, nuisance bears, and what we can do to alleviate the nuisance, and maybe some tips about what you should do if you encounter these animals in the wild. We do want to hear from you. We had a couple of callers on the line. They've dropped off. Our phone number is 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. Do you have a funny black bear story? Do you have any concerns about the number of black bears? If you're a hunter, do you think there should be more permits? Give us a call, 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, formerly Fiserv Health, providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
If you just tuned in, this is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. I'm Glenn Mobrig. Our guest today, Chuck McCullough, the Headwaters Wildlife Supervisor for the Wisconsin DNR, and Jeff Traska, Director of the Black Bear Education Center in Wausau. And we're talking about black bears, and we want to hear from you. If you've got a story, if you've got a question, if you've got a concern, if you're a hunter, you think there should be more permits, give us a call at 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Chuck, you were saying that the DNR contracts out with the federal government.
Right.
How does that work?
The Wildlife Services is a branch of the Department of Agriculture, and across the country, they are professional damage management specialists. And in Wisconsin, we work with them on deer, bear, wolves, and on waterfowl damage problems. They're the staff specialists who manage the issues for us. People, you know, we have 800 numbers. Mm-hmm. People who have complaints will call them. In the case of bear, a complaint would come to one of their two regional offices. There's one in Rhinelander. And, you know, they have specialists who will go out and look at the site, see what's wrong. And with bear, typically the problem stems from having bird feeders or bait out for deer or something like that. We will trap animals in some cases, or they will trap animals and relocate them to the wilds.
How often do they have to kill a problem bear?
Not very often. Of the 750 that are moved in a year, usually less than 10 are killed by Wildlife Services. And those cases are usually where a bear has become very bold, is very aggressive to people. You know, it's truly a danger. The state will issue permits to people who are experiencing losses in agriculture, or if, you know, crop losses, corn, bears mm-hmm. love corn, or livestock. If bears have been around cattle, horses and have learned to prey on them. We'll issue shooting permits for those. Once again, it's something that we don't want going on, and it's a dangerous.
Contrast a black bear with the grizzlies that we have mm-hmm. out west. Now, mm-hmm. I'm really not afraid of black bears myself. I treat them with caution, but I'm deathly afraid of grizzly bears. When I'm walking out, if you're hiking in Wyoming or something, and you encounter one of those animals out in the woods, it is a to me, anyway, it is a truly frightening experience.
I agree. They're a lot bigger, but a black bear, I think treating them with caution, you know, a properly behaving wild black bear is usually running away from you if it knows you're there. And grizzlies are big enough that in most cases they don't fear much of anything. Black bears startled by a human, they're, you know, behaving well. They're headed in the other direction most of the time when you see them.
And most of the time, a black bear, when you see a black bear that is not running away from you, acting like he is not afraid, that bear normally has been exposed to human food, like a dumpster or something like that, and All of the media hype that's out there is, I think in the past month I've seen a number of different programs, and every time they're talking about the bear problems. And in the background, you see the bear getting out of a dumpster, or crawling into a dumpster, or getting somebody's bird feeder. I think it's a little bit of a misconception. It's not a bear problem, it's a people problem. Because if the food will go away, the human food will go away, the bear will go out and forage on what it's supposed to naturally. So we have to put it in perspective what we're doing, and I guess I have to ask how many times does the department find that people have bird feeders or dumpsters where the bears are coming in, and then they keep calling in, but the problem has never gone away.
Right. The policy is that if these folks, the staff specialists, the first advice these people get is clean up your act. Remove your bird feeders, your dog food, your trash. And a lot of times people will tell us that they have done that, and then the staff specialist shows up and the stuff is still there. Right. And we don't set traps. The wildlife services will not set traps for bears until the people have made the first steps at cleaning up their
case.
So
if you're having a problem, get that bird feeder cleaned out and make sure you don't have garbage, dog food, or whatever.
Those take care of more than half of the problems that we hear about in the state.
261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to the phones. Liz in Plover, you're on Route 51. Hello, Liz.
Hello there. I have a black bear story.
We want to hear it.
Well, my husband and I were visiting some friends who own some wooded property in the White Lake area. We were coming back from dinner, so it was probably around 8:30 or so. And if you're familiar with the area, it's quite hilly. They have the kettles there, and we were certainly looking for deer because of the time frame we were coming. And just as I was topping a hill, just coming over the crest of it, of course, looking for deer.
You were walking at the time, or you were driving?
We were driving.
Okay.
Just cresting the hill, and at almost the bottom of the hill was a black bear just sitting in the middle of the road. And we give him one of these, oh, my gosh, it's a black bear. And I tell you, that's the expression that seemed to be on his face. Oh, my gosh, it's a car. And he ran down the middle of the road for a little bit and then off into the field. But he or she was just gorgeous.
It kind of made your day, didn't it, to see that bear?
It did. I'm from the South. We lived in Wisconsin for 20 years, and we've seen numerous deers, turkeys, foxes, things like that, but I have never seen a bear. So it was pretty cool.
And you know, whenever I've seen a bear along the roadside, it is usually running pretty quick to get out of the car's way. In fact, most of the bears I've encountered seem a lot more intelligent in terms of avoiding vehicles than most of the deer you run into. And unfortunately, you don't want to run into them.
That's right. That's right. Now, the size of this one, I wouldn't say it was a baby, but it didn't seem to, as if it was full-grown either. But then again, I don't know the size of a full-grown black bear.
One of the standard things to tell a big bear from a little bear is how big are their ears. If the ears look big, the bear's not very big because it's an animal that grows into its head. And, you know, the ears stay the same size from about age 2 to when they die. And when they get real big around those ears, they'll look small. So was this a long-legged, big-eared bear?
Oh, gee, I can't.
Because that's probably
that
we call those teenagers about a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
I named it a yearling. I thought of it as, you know, not full grown, but not a baby either. No. But just beautiful. But you're right. Certainly ran away from us. Didn't, come towards the car or anything.
And that's the type of animal that you want to see out there. Or if you're walking in a trail, you're berry picking or whatever. That animal may say you're walking through a berry patch, and because of the wind or whatever, the bear doesn't hear you come in, and all of a sudden he's alerted by you. He stands up on his hind legs and he's looking in your direction and smelling, and then he takes off running as fast as he can. That's the wild bear you want to see.
Thanks so much for the call, Liz. Anything you want to add?
Well, I just wanted to ask what should I do? If I had been walking down this road and saw him, am I best to make a noise to scare him or just stand still?
I'll tell you what, that's what we're going to pick up on when we come back from our news break, which we have to do right now. Liz and Plover, thanks so much for the call.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And you are listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg with Chuck McCullough of the DNR and Jeff Traska of the Black Bear Education Center in Wausau. We want to hear from you. If you've got a bear story, if you've got any concerns, give us a call at 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. The subject is Black Bears on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. The subject today, black bears.
Threat number 0.5. Bears! A mama polar bear at the Berlin Zoo rejected her cub, and the zoo has been raising it themselves. This has sparked outrage among German animal rights activists like Frank Albrecht, who said, quote, "Feeding by hand is not species appropriate, but a gross violation of animal protection laws. The zoo must kill the bear." This is outrageous, because for the first time in my life, I am agreeing with an animal rights activist. Albrecht goes on to say, "If the polar bear mother rejected the baby, then I must believe the zoo must follow the instincts of nature. In the wild, it would have been left to die." Exactly. Why are we preserving bears in zoos? They are our enemies. You don't see water buffalo running lion preserves. So I say, kill this bear cub. Oh my God, he's so adorable. Oh, his eyes look like little buttons. Jimmy, get the picture down. Get it down. Get it down. Take it out. Get it. Nation, don't be fooled by what a bear looks like on the outside. What matters most is what's on the inside. And if we don't watch out, it's going to be us.
Stephen Colbert from the Colbert Report on Comedy Central, and he does that regularly, makes fun of people who are afraid of bears and wildlife, and I guess we have to treat bears with a certain amount of respect, but maybe we don't have to be frightened of them.
I think one of the things is I make comments to people. Bears are no different than having a 200-pound gray squirrel in your backyard. That's really all they are. They're out there surviving. They want to eat. If there's human food that's around and if we're sloppy with our human food, they're going to come in and eat. So they need to be in the wild where we should be seeing them, not in our backyard.
If you just joined us, our guests are Jeff Traska of the Black Bear Education Center in Wausau and Chuck McCullough, Headwaters Wildlife Supervisor for the Wisconsin DNR. And Chuck, we do have to treat bears with respect. And Liz in Plover wanted to know exactly what you should do if you encounter a bear in the wild.
I think a 200-pound gray squirrel is a good example. I might have used a different one, but it works okay. It's a big animal, and they have the potential to hurt you. But if you treat them with caution, but you don't need to run the other direction. If you encounter a bear at close range, especially in the woods, usually, as we've said before, the bear is running away from you the first time you see it, and you have nothing to worry about there. If for some reason, and there are a number of different reasons why a bear, even a properly behaving bear, might be aggressive or stand its ground. For instance, if it's a sow and their cubs are on the other side of you, that sow is going to be bold, and you need to back out of whatever that situation is. But the bear's going to tell you what to do. They're going to posture, snap, growl, whatever. If they're doing that, just back out slowly of whatever you're in. But in most cases, a properly socialized bear is going to be headed the other direction.
What if you get between a bear and the cubs? Isn't that
that's
the most
a bad
dangerous
place to be? But usually, when that happens, I mean, it's not an immediate attack from a sow. You have a chance to move out of that circumstance.
And what you're going to see in that situation is the mother. It's not a frightening situation, because the thing is, if you understand bears talk, you can understand what the animal is saying. And bears react on fear. They're very mm-hmm. afraid of things. And in a situation with a mother with cubs, the first thing you're going to hear the mother do more than likely is go, and she's going to mm-hmm. pop her teep and puff. That's telling her cubs, retreat, go up the tree, hide, get away from this situation. Then she'll go out, and she may circle the area, and she'll wait till the problem is gone, and then the cubs will come down out of the tree. She'll look up the tree, and she'll go, down the cubs will come, and away they'll be. That's the way it is. The sounds that bears make are very unique, and that's one thing. By visiting the Wisconsin Black Bear Educational Center, you can actually see these animals making these sounds, communicating between one another, and it's very interesting, and you can get better ideas.
Very good. Jeff Trask runs the Black Bear Education Center in Wausau. We've got a call now from Derek in Tomahawk. Derek, you are on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, and the subject is bears. Derek?
Hi, I appreciate you guys fitting me in here. I applaud Jeff's efforts for black bears and the DNR as well for getting our numbers back up in the state of Wisconsin. I've got a couple of things for you. I don't know how much time I've got, but...
Take your time.
One is my wife and I live out in the country in Tomahawk, and we have bird feeders up, enjoy seeing the wildlife.
Chuck McCullough's rolling his eyes right now.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. And especially after I asked the question, he probably will a little bit more. We try to take the feeder down every year once we spot a black bear in the area, and we've been lucky in the past couple of years where we've seen the bears in the area, and I've been able to take the feeder down. Well, this year I had a feeder problem where the bear got it, and I waited 2 weeks and put it back up, and then it got it again, and I waited another 2 weeks and put it back up, and it got it again, so I just removed it for quite some time. And this bear was quite large in comparison to the bears that we've had there in the past years. I'm wondering if it's a possibility that I'm in any way conditioning this bear, and I have no intention of doing that just to get a bear on videotape. That's one quick question.
Well, let's answer this one, and we'll let you ask the second question. Jeff,
You ask about, this is Jeff Traska. You ask about if you're conditioning this animal. Well, I don't know what type of a neighborhood you live in, if it's kind of rural or
very, very rural.
Okay. Well, he's basically coming through on his routine. He has an area where he's probably, he's eating natural food, but your place is the Dairy Queen.
Right.
You're the Dairy Queen. And when he comes through the area, he knows he got something in the past. So now he's going to stop there and look and see if there's something available for him. Every time he comes through. Their memory is beyond ours by all means. But the thing, what you can do, and I've been working on this for many years, trying to make a beer-proof bird feeder. In a rural situation like you have, if you would call me, I can give you ideas on how to eliminate that problem and still be able to feed your bear or feed your birds.
And I'm going to recommend that you just leave it in until October 15th and just give it up for the summer. Jeff may have some ideas, but so far I've never seen one that was bear proof. You may have one, but the vast majority of feeders, it's just better to take it in and leave it in.
And Derek, your second question.
Second question is the incident that happened over in, I believe it was Rice Lake last fall with a bull hunter that got somehow the cub made it up the tree past him, and the sow was in between. He was in between the sow and the cub in the tree stand. I'm wondering if you as a DNR agent, Chuck, have any validity to that story.
I don't have any reason to doubt it. You know, I hear enough things from folks in the woods that that you know do turn out to be legitimate stories, and this one didn't sound like a tall tale to me. You know, I've heard a number of different things with bears, bears up a tree, bears climbing trees with hunters in them, and so forth. And these happen not all the time, but there's always every fall there's one or two odd stories with bears, and so I don't have any reasons to disbelieve this one.
And one thing you have to understand is bear, I can tell you about the bears that I've encountered over my lifetime, a couple hundreds of them, but they all have personalities just like us. Every day we read something in the paper that is just off the wall that some human being has done. Hey, it can happen with bears also because they all have personalities. And so the things you hear about can possibly be, but the way that they saw it and the way maybe it really was could be two different things. So but
take it with a grain of salt.
Yep.
Derek, thanks so much for the call. We're going to move on here. Let's go to Lori in Crandon. Lori, you're on Route 51.
Hello.
Hello, Lori.
Hey, Jeff and Chuck, this is really a great, I'm so enjoying your show.
Cool.
I actually have a couple of things I wanted to say. I've actually been a Wisconsin resident all of my life, starting out in northwestern Wisconsin, and then now I've been in northeastern Wisconsin for the past 15 years. And one comment I would like to make is how interesting it is that since I've been in northeastern Wisconsin, I keep track of my bear sightings, and I've seen well over 20 so far. And I talked to other people who've lived here all their life and have never seen one.
Lori, is that 20 this year or 20 in total?
20 in total.
Okay, that's still a lot.
Yeah, and I feel very fortunate to have had that happen. I've had encounters with bears when I've been on a walk, and you're right, they kind of go their own way. I have a funny bear story I want to tell you, and then I also have a question. My bear story goes kind of like this. I was sleeping one night. I had have a deck that runs along the back of my house, and I just had this eerie premonition that somebody was watching me. And I opened my eyes, and I looked out my French doors, and a bear was literally standing, staring at me from the deck. And so I kind of got up, and I, you know, kind of said, shoo, shoo. And he was so agile. He just went right over the top of the deck and crawled down the side of the wall, which was a two-story home, and just kind of scampered off into the woods. But that was quite quite an interesting situation.
You're a very lucky lady.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting.
You're lucky. You're lucky in the fact that you got to see a bear in its natural kind of natural ability. He was just very curious of you. That's what it was. I mean, he wasn't there to to kill you or anything like that.
I didn't feel that way at all, but it was just so strange, and I just was like, wow, this is really weird that he would actually come right up on the deck and kind of watch.
Chuck, have you ever heard of bears entering houses?
Yes. There are weird stories of especially like house trailers, the grease the fan over the oven and the grease through it, and bears will literally peel a trailer and to get into camps and trailers, but you know, there are exceptions to the rule. Generally, they respect the building.
And Lori, your question.
Here's my question. I just recently moved, and I actually have a very large mother bear, and I thought she only had two pups, but she actually has three. And they're very fun to watch. The cubs, when I first started watching them, would literally like hop in the hay field, and I don't know what she was eating. I didn't get real close. But my question is this. I have a very large raspberry patch in my backyard, and I'm wondering if I'm real nervous about her coming in for these raspberries. They're just starting to ripen right now. I'm wondering how nervous I have to be about that, one, for one, and two, is there anything that I can do to try to dissuade her from coming into that?
Well, what I would say, this is Jeff Traska talking, what I would say you can do, you can get a small solar-powered type electric fencer from Fleet Farm or one of your local stores. They have battery-operated ones. You can put in very small little posts that you can stake in. Bears respect electric fences very much so. Make sure that you have a wire that's low to the ground, though, about a foot away, and maybe two or three up to like 3 feet high. Put that around and wait, you know, make it so it's accessible to you by a handle or an insulator, and they'll respect that.
Okay.
I don't believe you'll have any problems.
That's a pretty common technique for honeybee, you know, for the beehives, is when the beekeepers put those out, they'll surround them with electric fence, just the same thing. And bears love honey. We all know about poo. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the key thing to this, though, is you need to get at it before they get into it. Because in honey situations, once the bear gets into it, a lot of times they can become very bold. I've heard of situations where they'll just charge right through the fence. They know they're going to get the shock initially, but once they're inside of it, they don't care.
It was worth it.
Yep.
Right.
So
okay.
Get that fence up now, Lori.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to do that. That's a really good piece of advice. Bless her soul, I do have bird feeders up in my yard. I do live out in the country, and I've been very surprised. She hasn't tried to come over and take those down at all, so I don't know if it's because of she's got these cubs, and if she were alone, maybe that would be different.
You're running a risk. You know, the fact that they haven't done it yet. You know, I've got to the point where it's a when, not if, with most bird feeders in your circumstances.
Yeah, okay. And I think on your part too, it's one of those things. You may not notice that they've been in there, but the seeds that are laying on the ground, they may come. They may come at night, and they may be eating those. All depends on the bear. Some are very aggressive, just rip it out of their tree. Some don't even want to hardly touch the feeder, so it looks like nobody was even there.
Lori, okay. Thanks. Lori, thanks so much for the phone call.
Yeah,
thanks.
Thank you.
I'm Glenn
Moberg.
This is Route 51, Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. The subject today, black bears. We've got Chuck McCullough of the DNR and Jeff Traska of the Black Bear Education Center in Wausau. We've still got time for your bear story or bear question at 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include attorney Paul A. Sturgill, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Toll-free information is at 888-613-0600.
261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. We've still got time for one more phone call, and we are talking about black bears. Chuck McCullough, tell us a little bit about the lives of these fascinating animals. There's a lot we don't know about them, or at least the general public doesn't know about them.
And they're different than most critters out there. A black bear, the sows, the females, only give birth about every other year, as opposed to most things, which are every year. And she gives birth in the middle of the winter. The cubs are actually born in the den. They're very small, and they grow quickly while she's in the hibernation, or not real hibernation, but anyways, in the den. And those cubs will come out of the den with her in the spring and will spend the next full year with her, growing to about 100 pounds over the course of that year. And then the second spring, after they've been born, she will kick them out, mm-hmm. and then she'll come into heat again and be bred. And that time when she's kicking last season's cubs out, and the breeding season for her again is the time when we get a lot of the nuisance calls, because those young bears are learning how to be bears on their own. And just like teenagers, they're making a lot of mistakes. And that's when we get a lot of the, you know, bears doing stupid things.
And what time of the year is that again?
June, July.
Okay.
You know, May, June, July.
Right now.
Right. And one of the things that happens there, because bears have such a great memory, is wherever that mother had taken her cubs, the mother gives some of her own terrain to her daughter for breeding purposes, and the males have to disperse out and go out on their own. This is where you see the younger males get, they're going back to the bird feeder that them and their mother
right.
had visited.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just goes on and on. So, they learn from their mother, very much what to do, but if they get in trouble, they're learning that also.
We've got time to squeeze in another phone call here. Let's go to Tom in northern Wisconsin. Tom, you're on Route 51. Hello.
Hello. I'm a farmer. I'd like to make some comments on the bear program. I've dealt with their trapping and abatement program for quite a few years and kind of gave up on it. Right now, last 3-4 years, we've been experiencing dry weather up here, so we got more bear damage and there's more bear. I mean, they really do a lot of damage to a cornfield, oat field. I've had bear come in a yard, kill a calf, and that was documented by the DNR because I did get paid for it. Now, the problem that I have is that there used to be a $500 deductible, meaning that, say your damage is $400, you wouldn't get paid. If your damage was $1,000, you would get $500, and you wouldn't get paid until the following spring.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
is that from the federal government? Is that
No, that's, well, it's through the DNR. I know you can ask one of the guys there, but I don't know why there has to be a deductible. I mean, that's like going on the street and asking anybody for $500 or, well, now it's $250, excuse me. It's down to $250 now. You know, asking people $250 to literally, I don't know why farmers got to absorb that $250. And not only that, when we go into the trapping program, and if we got several fields, let's say corn fields, traps have to be checked before 8 o'clock in the morning. That's tough for a farmer. Then you literally got to pull the traps out with your four-wheeler, because usually a DNR doesn't, they only got a trailer to haul their traps on. So, to be honest with you, there's a lot of farmers that just gave up on the program. I myself am not a hunter, I'm not a bear hunter. Yes, I enjoy wildlife, but a lot of this damage and problems are getting to be an extreme here.
What are farmers doing?
Well, I close my eyes and just look at the damage and keep on going. And I can tell you stories where it could be an acre in a field. You know, an acre of corn right now is a tremendous amount of money and a tremendous amount of input. I just close my eyes and keep going because I do not have the time to check those fields. And then if you've got old damage, you've got to have fresh damage. So if they see it's fresh damage, you'll get paid on it.
What do you think the solution is, Tom? Do you think we need more bear hunters, more permits issued?
I would like to see it, yes. I mean, I've got a lot of bear. Years ago when I was a kid, I'm 50 years old, when I was a kid, if you saw a bear, that was unbelievable. I almost see a bear not quite as bad as you see
Tom, I'm going to have to let our guests respond because I'm down to our last 2 minutes of the show. But thanks so much for the call, and good luck to you, and good luck with the problems you're having out in your fields.
I'm going to hang on if I can, and I don't have a radio here. I'd like to listen.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
And Glenn, Tom is a perfect example of the other side of an abundant bear population. People criticize the department for only listening to hunters, but we have to listen to people like Tom and the damage that bears do, and it's part of the big equation for how many bears should society have in the Northwoods.
Yeah, and Tom, Jeff Traska here. I guess what I would like to do is if you ever get in the Wausau area here, if you could stop and see me or even just call me, I would be more than happy to look at what your situation is, and there might be a way that I could help you with different things that might be able to put these problems aside for you.
Well, I appreciate it. One quick comment is that there's a lot of guys that are doing bad things because of it.
Yep. Yep.
A lot of guys who are shooting at the bears.
Right. 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 And I don't like that, but a lot of guys are getting frustrated. I don't even own a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I see it, I get just so frustrated. I'm overwhelmed by it, and I just, like I say, I close my eyes and I keep on going. But it gets very frustrating.
Tom, we got to leave it at there. Thanks so much for the phone call.
Thank you very much.
And we are out of time, gentlemen. It's
thanks
been interesting. We do want to thank our guests, that would be Chuck McCullough of the Headwaters Wildlife Supervisor, the Wisconsin DNR, and Jeff Traska, the director of the Black Bear Education Center in Wausau. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer. Thanks also to our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Special audio segments today from Stephen Colbert and Comedy Central and from MGM Pictures, The Wizard of Oz. Thanks as always to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Route 51 can be heard every Thursday at 5 p.m. on the Ideas Network stations, WLBL 91.9 FM Wausau, 930 AM Auburndale, WHBM 90.3 FM Park Falls, and now on 90.9 FM High Definition Channel 2. Thanks again for riding with us today. Until next week, we are heading out of town.